Good morning, and welcome to another one of our JavaScript webinars. In today's session, we're going to talk about how to create office apps using Angular.js. So what are we going to cover today? So first, I'll give you a quick introduction into the different types of development that you can do for Office. And then we'll dive into the two main ways to integrate with Office. So the first one deals with extending the Office experience for your users. And then we'll look at how you can, if you have an existing application, how you can integrate that existing application with the Office and the Office APIs. And then finally, we'll take a look at how to distribute these Office apps. So what are the kind of the means to get your app, once you've developed it, to your users. So as usual, if you have any questions during this webinar or after this webinar, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter using AskMSDev as a hashtag, and we'll make sure to get back to you as soon as possible. So let's kick this off and take a quick look at how to do Office or Office 365 development. So we're covering basically both development for the local Office that you deploy on any device, basically. It could be a Windows machine, could be your smartphone, whether it's Windows, iOS, or Android. The Office suite of applications are available across the different mobile devices, but they're also available online. So you have the Office web apps that allow you to kind of just basically use your browser and start creating Office documents, whether it's Excel or Office or PowerPoint, you name it. So why would you want to do this? So Office is, why would that be an opportunity for you as a developer? So basically Office, you may know it, I think most of the people know it. If you look at, for example, the first one there, you can see that right now we have over 1.2 billion users that are using Office, across the different versions of Office. And Office 365, which is our cloud offering, which is basically a large user base. So that's important. But what is more important is kind of the third one there, is that people and users are spending up to 2 to 3 hours a day in using Office. So it's really there, a large portion of the time they spend during a day, they are using Office, are using the Office services. So that makes this really an important entry point for you if you have an application that you want to bring forward to your users. If you are able to integrate with Office, you'll immediately have your application visible to a lot of users, and also for a long time during the day. So it's really a nice opportunity. Now, looking at Office and our developer vision, Office on one hand side, on the left hand side, it's all about the user experience, so bringing the Office suite of applications to the user across the different platforms. And on the right hand side, you could see, and that kind of deals with the Office services, is that there's a lot of data that you spend, or that you store inside of Office, whether it's emails, whether it's documents. There is also information about your organization, so your contacts, who's your manager, and you have tasks. All of the things are basically captured inside of Office and the Office services. So both of these basically relate back to how we're going to create Office apps. So the first one, which we'll look at, is how can we bring our application inside of the user, the Office experience, so inside of the Office applications, integrate your business logic in there. On the other hand, which is the second large topic of this presentation, is how can we leverage basically the data that is sitting in these Office services, whether it's documents, whether it's emails, whether it's information about the organizational structure or the contacts. How can you integrate this inside of an existing application? So let's say you have a web application, or you have a desktop application, mobile application. Is there a way to kind of integrate with the Office services, the Office APIs, and use that information that is sitting in there, that data? So first, we're going to look at, let's move to this one here. We're going to look at extending Office and the Office experience. So bringing your functionality inside of Office. How do you do this? This is what we call Office add-ins. So, and there's different shapes and forms of Office add-ins that you can create. So an example that you see here is, for example, inside of Outlook, so inside of your email experience, you have an add-in for Salesforce. What will happen is this add-in will look at the email. Who is this email coming from? Are there any contacts mentioned inside of the email? And can we provide a link into the Salesforce CRM system or ERP system that ties into the contacts that are sitting in this email? So bringing you the business information, the CRM information inside of your email experience, so you don't have to leave your Outlook experience or email client and go to a business application. No, you have the business application, the information immediately inside of your email client. So Office add-ins, important there for development, is it's all built with web standards. So add-ins are basically small web pages, they're web applications. They're hosted inside of a browser controller or an iframe. And so you can use HTML5 plus JavaScript plus CSS, all of the technologies that you know as a web developer, for building these Office add-ins. So using standard web technology, you can create the user experience. Now, how do you integrate with the actual Office application? So how can we tie into, for example, here Outlook or Excel or Word? And we'll look at some examples how to, for example, from inside of an add-in, modify a document or insert information in Excel spreadsheets. So this is done through the office.js JavaScript library. So this provides kind of the interop between your add-in and the actual Office client. In terms of hosting, so where do you put this this add-in? So is it living inside of the actual client, or is it hosted externally? So basically, you are going to host your add-in. So this web application. You can host it centrally, so it's not included with the Office client. So you can host it externally, and it's up to you to choose where you want to deploy it. So in my demos here, I'm going to deploy it to Azure, but you could just as well host it somewhere else on an existing web server. It could be at a hoster, it could be in another cloud, it could be anywhere, as long as it's publicly available. Okay. So in terms of footprint, so as I said, the actual add-in is the web technology, the web application is being hosted centrally, so it's not sitting inside of the client. So what is sitting on the actual client is basically, it's almost zero, it's basically a manifest, which is just an XML file, which you can see an example of here, and we'll look at a number of them as we do the demos. This manifest is basically a description of where to find your add-in. So for example, here you could see source location is pointing to salesforce.com/office. So the actual add-in is sitting on salesforce.com. It describes some metadata about the add-in. That's basically all that's sitting on the Office client, on the client machine, just an XML file which will point to where to find the add-in and what the add-in can do. So as I said, Office runs on multitude of platforms, and by leveraging these web standards, we actually allow these add-ins to run anywhere where you can run Office. So this could be an iPhone, it could be an iPad, could be an Android phone, could be Windows desktop. So basically anywhere where you can run Office, you can run your add-ins. And then of course, and this we'll look at later on in this session, is Yeah, these add-ins, it's good you, that you can develop them, but where can you find them? And for that, there is similar to what you have with mobile platforms, where you have an app store. We have a similar thing for Office. So we have the Office Store, where you can find, as a user, where you can find all of the add-ins that are available for you. It could be paying add-ins, could be free add-ins. So there's a whole model there for users to discover, and for developers to sell their add-ins. Okay, now how does this differ for those people that had already created add-ins previously? So before Office 2013, basically you had kind of native add-ins that were running only on basically only on Windows. So those were binary add-ins. And well, you had a number of ways to develop them, but key there is that they were binary. You had to deploy them actually on the actual machine, which kind of had a requirement that they had to be Windows binaries. Now this has changed with Office 2013 and 2016. By using, you can still use those binary add-in models, but of course we're adding that, we're supplementing that with web technology. Yeah, so to make them really cross-platform. Okay. Now here you can see kind of the anatomy, and we'll see this in more detail as we create a quick sample. Is that you have, for example, here Excel. In Excel, there is just an add-in to display some mapping information, or maybe a tag or a word cloud in there. So what is happening is the user inside of Excel is going to go to the Office Store or some local repository and download what is called the app manifest. So this XML file. In this XML file, it will find where is the add-in hosted. And then it's going to go to that specific web server and retrieve basically the web page that corresponds with the add-in. That's kind of the schema that is that's happening there. So only the add-in is downloaded onto the client, and then basically the web page is rendered inside of the Office clients. Okay. Now looking at add-ins, there's multiple ways of add-ins. So you already saw initially in Outlook where you had the Salesforce add-in, which is sitting side by side with your email, which is kind of the contextual mail add-in. So you open up an email and you can add some business logic related to that specific email inside of the email client. So this is one option. These are the contextual mail add-ins. And then next to that, we have what we call task pane add-ins. Those are basically, you could see them as companion applications, which are running in the Office client, and are running side by side with a document, and they allow to interact with that document as well. And we're gonna create some of those task pane add-ins in the demos here, both for Excel and both for Word. Third option that you have for add-ins are what we call content add-ins. This is kind of the experience that you saw in this one here, where you have either a map or this word cloud, which is sitting inside of a document. So you have a document and you're embedding some custom logic inside of the document. So you can see this in Excel and PowerPoint. You can have content add-ins. Yep. And then finally, is what we call the add-in commands. Those kind of are add-ins that allow you kind of to update, to modify the Office UI, add some buttons to the ribbon, for example, to do what we call UI-less operations. So you click a button, maybe to retrieve some data or to update a status on some server. Yeah, so you can add buttons and custom functionality into the Office ribbon. So that's kind of a quick overview of the types of add-ins that exist. Now let's look at how you add an add-in as a user. So for that, I'm going to switch to Excel. So I have here Excel running locally on my machine. So how do you create or insert an add-in? So you go to the Insert tab here, and there you'll have My Add-ins. So there's, you may already have installed a number of add-ins. There's the shared folder if you have a local kind of local store. We'll see that again in the distribution models. And here you can see the Store tab. So by clicking on the store, you're actually going to the Office store, and you can start searching for different types of add-ins that you may need, whether it's productivity, whether it's about mapping information. So let's say we have we're looking for maps. So we can start adding some add-ins here. So let's say I want to use the Bing Maps add-in. So just click OK. So what is happening here, I'm going to minimize this one a bit, is you could see the add-in, which is a content add-in. So we have something embedded inside of our document popping up. So it's a Bing map. And we can insert some sample data in our document. And you'll see is the document or the add-in itself is going to use the information that is sitting in the document to kind of represent information on this map. So you could zoom in. And let's say in Europe, we can click on here. We could say Berlin has a revenue of 85 and expenses of 55. But let's say we want to change this revenue fee here. We have something running inside of our document. And similarly, you can go to office.com. So here I'm going to office.com. You just log in with a Microsoft account. And you can click on, for example, the online apps, so the Office web apps. On here, we can create a new document, and very similarly, we can start adding add-ins. So we go to the Insert tab, we can say Office Add-ins. So here we're just running in a browser. So I'm going to check in the Office Store for add-ins that are supported inside of Word. So we can take here the Wikipedia. Yes, I trust this add-in. And you see that we can have here what we call a task pane add-in. So we can look up some information on Wikipedia. Let's say I want to look for Angular.js. Enter this one, and I'm getting some reference information outside of Wikipedia. Note that this add-in also is going to work alongside the document. It's going to interact with the document. So this is a webinar on Angular.js and MS Office. So as soon as I select some text, you'll see if I select here MS Office, it's going to look on Wikipedia. If I'm looking for what is a webinar, it's about web conferencing, Angular.js. So you could see the task pane add-in working in coordination with the content that you have inside of your document. Okay, so these are add-ins, so you can see running either locally on my machine, but just as well, they can be running inside of the browser. Let's switch back. There we go. Now switch back to our presentation here. Now, how do you develop these add-ins? So there's basically three ways for building Office applications. The first one of which is, let's say you don't have any developer tools, anything, you just want to use the browser. For that, we have what is called NAPA, the NAPA tools. NAPA was kind of the code name internally, and it's kind of remained kind of it's the final name for the browser-based editing tools for building client-side Office add-ins. Yeah, I'm going to show you in just a minute how that works. So it's basically you just get a code editor inside of the browser. You just do all of the development needed for your Office add-in inside of the browser, and then you can just publish your add-in into the store if you'd want to. Or you can download it and continue to work on it using a standard code editor, or what is also available, of course, is the Visual Studio experience. So you could have Visual Studio for doing your office development. It has, of course, the first-class development experience. But of course, yeah, you need to run it locally. It's a fully-fledged integrated development environment. Yeah, so you can do, the advantage here is that you can do both your client-side development for Office, but you could just as well do your server-side components there. So it's more than just doing the client-side web code for your add-in. Yeah. So I didn't quite mention this, but know that your the entry point for an add-in is a web page, but that web page might be generated using either PHP or Ruby or ASP.NET. Server-side technology, it's really the Office client is really agnostic of what server-side technology you might want to use. So it doesn't have to be just pure client-side JavaScript. You can have a full backend sitting behind it and just expose some client web pages. And then the third option is, if you're not using Visual Studio, you might want to use just a code editor if you're running on Linux, on Mac, and you don't have the full Visual Studio running on there. You could use other code editors. Code editors such as, for example, Visual Studio Code, which is cross-platform. So it's a lightweight editor, and this is the one I will be using. It runs on Linux and Mac, but just as well, you could be using Emacs or VI or Atom or any other editor that you want to use. And basically, what we've done is using the Yeoman kind of template generator, you can basically get a quick start and generate kind of the initial template for your Office add-in just using Yeoman. And then one final thing is, and we'll see, I'll show you a demo of that, is that yes, you can create just an add-in using pure web technologies, so HTML5, JavaScript, CSS, and you could define your style the way you want it. You could use material design, you could use your own custom designs and styles, but what we've done as well is, if you want your add-in to look kind of or have kind of the same look and feel as the actual Office UI, the Office experience for users, what we've developed is a JavaScript library and some style sheets that go with it, and which is called the Office UI Fabric, and it's basically a responsive and you see it here a mobile-first front-end framework, so that you can build an add-in that really matches the style and the look and feel of the Office suite itself. So in terms of typography and color animations, you can add all that, and it's all available in this Office UI Fabric. So we'll see an example there. Now let's start with the actual development part. So how are we going to build this Office add-in? So for that, I'm going to switch to my command prompt. First thing we're going to do, we're just going to create a directory and say demo add-in. Create a directory and go in there, demo add-in. And what we're going to do is we're going to generate kind of the sample template for creating an Office add-in. So I said we're going to use, you could use Yeoman. If you want to have the Office templates, your generator templates, what you need to do is you need to do an npm install -g of generator / office. If you do so, you're going to get all of the Yeoman templates for building Office applications. So I've already done so. So what we do next is we're going to do Yeo Office. So Yeo for Yeoman, and then the Office generator. And what we'll get is a number of options there asking us what kind of Office add-in do you want to create. Do you want to create a task pane? Do you want to create a content add-in? And so on. So this may take a few seconds, as you can see. So while that is running, seems to be taking some time here. So what I'll do in the meantime. So here, there we go, we've started. So we can create our project name. So so my demo add-in. We're going to use the current folder. And here you could choose, do you want to create a mail add-in, a task pane add-in, or a content add-in? So we can choose, for example, a task pane add-in, click enter. And then we need to select what are kind of the application, the Office applications that you want to support with your add-in. So you can choose one or more. So in this specific case, let's choose Word. Enter this one. Then we're going to choose what technologies you want to use. Could be just plain HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Could be Angular. Could be Angular plus ADAL, as you can see here, it's Azure Active Directory Authentication Library. This is if you want to have an add-in that has user authentication with, for example, the Office services. Yeah. You can add an authentication JavaScript library in there. Or if you just want to manifest and do everything from scratch yourself, you could choose the final option. Let's go with Angular. Once you choose that, it's going to create all of the different assets that are sitting in our add-in project. So you can see we already have a manifest file, some description that you can add in addition. You could have also a link to an icon. So if you want to have a visual representation, a logo, you can add it here. You can specify, this will specify if it's inside of a document or a command. And then the most important one is the source location. So where can we find basically the entry point for our add-in? So the manifest describes where the actual add-in code, so the web application, is sitting. So in this specific case, it's sitting on a local directory. So first, what we're going to do, because we're going to be self-hosting, is yes, we're experiencing some issues with the connectivity. Hoping to get it resolved quite as quickly as possible. So we're including the office.js. So this will allow us, as mentioned, to interop, to have all of the APIs to connect to the items, the objects that are sitting in our documents. For example, if you're to Excel to write something to the cells in our spreadsheet, or to interact with the text that are sitting in our Word document. So this is the office.js that we need to include. The Fabric CSS, so we'll add some UI Fabric components there. And in addition, some more styling and Office Teams. So this is kind of all comes out of the box. And then kind of the core of the web application is what you see here. And if you're familiar with Angular, which I assume you are, you could see that we have our view here. We're including our app module, and we can look at the app folder here, where we have our app module. This is all pretty much straightforward Angular JS code. We have our module, Office add-in. We have our routes defined. Which say here that we have our home.html is our main module, our main component inside of Angular. Our controller, it's a home controller, and our it will be referenced as VM inside of our code. So looking at home.html, you'll see that it's fairly simple. It just outputs kind of the title. Looking at the controller, you'll see that we are in our Office add-in module, our controller that we define here, home controller. We're just setting the title, which will be displayed in our HTML file. We have some data objects. We can get some data from a service. This is our Angular service, which is just returning some dummy data. So value 1, value 2 in a property bag. So all of this has pretty much plain vanilla Angular JS code. And so there's nothing specific to Office in here, apart from the initial style sheets and office.js links that you have in the index.html. So what does this look like if we run this? So let's take a quick speak, if I'm using this one, sending it to HTTP. Switching back to my first add-in, which is the one I created. And as mentioned, we're going to do a gulp sort of static just to run it locally. This will just fire up our add-in and our code as if it were running on a web server, but it's just running locally. So it's going to be hosted at localhost 8443. So this is our entry point, which is mentioned in our manifest. So in our manifest we have localhost 8443 index.html. If we then go to, and this is a Word add-in, if we go to Word, we can add our add-in. Yeah. So how do we add our add-in? We can just do insert my add-ins, navigate to our shared folder, which is a shared folder I've defined here, which points to my local manifest files. Just make a refresh if needed. So my first add-in for Word. Click OK. And it should pop up here, our task pane. And we have our home controller, which is basically, if we look at our Angular code, in our home.html, we could say, if we modify this one, for example, we could say, welcome to Office. Save this file, and then in our add-in here we could say reload welcome to Office, and then the home controller, which is basically our VM, what we had here, vm.title. Okay, so from here on you could do AngularJS programming as you're used to, pretty much straightforward. Now, quick example of how to integrate or how to use this office.js functionality is, what we're going to do is we're just going to add here, I'm going to steal some code here just for the sake of time. Let's run through it in just a minute. So what we have here, we're going to put in our task pane just an input box, which is linked to our underlying model, and it's going to link to our text property. And we have a button which is linked to the add text to document method or function, which is sitting in our controller. And basically what we're going to do is we'll allow the user to type something in a text box, and we're going to insert that inside of our active Word document. Yeah. So we need to add these into our controller. Let me again grab some code here. It's all pretty much straightforward. There we go. So we're defining a new property here, a new field. We're going to expose our add to text function, which we still need to add. And I'm going to run through that in just a second. Let's add this one here. There we go. So what we've done here, we've added a function. This function is going to use the office.js, so the office object. Inside of there we have our context object in our document, which is the current document. And then we're going to use the method setSelectedData, async. So it's an async function. So it takes some data as input, vm.text. And what this method does, it's going to take whatever you have here in this data field and add it at the current position inside of the Word document. Yeah. Or if you're using Excel, it's going to insert some data inside of the currently selected cell inside of Excel. Yeah. Okay, so pretty much straightforward. Now, what does this look like? So I'm saving everything. I'm going back to my add-in here. If we now do reload, just right-click reload, we should have our input box. So it's a very basic UI. You might want to tweak this a bit, make it look more more nice for your users. So what we can say here, this text from the task pane, just add to document. I don't need any proofing tools. As you can see here, our text is being inserted in our document at the current position. So if we go here once more, add to document, and the text is being added. So we have some code sitting in our Angular controller here, and our HTML, so our view, which is using the office.js library to interact with the actual Office UI to make this work. Yeah. So this is all pretty simple, and you could deploy this as well into Azure or into onto your web server. So the only thing, if you deploy it onto a web server, would be a matter of changing. Show you here, changing basically the source location to point to, in this case here, my deployment on the Azure platform, that could be anywhere, and that's about it. You deploy your AngularJS code, change your manifest, and for the user, it just clicks that specific add-in, and it's going to connect to your backend setting there on your web server. So all pretty nice and fairly easy to do. Of course, there's a lot more functions available in the Office.js. You could just go to the Office Developer Center, and here you could see the full JavaScript API for Office, and there's a number of shared APIs. So if you want to go, like for example here, to the context, so the method that we used here is the Office context in the document. We can look at what is sitting in our document. And there's plenty of functions that will be available here for this specific object. We can go to the document object and see that we have here the set selected data async function, which is writing the data to the current selection in the document, which is the one we used. There are specific APIs available for Word, for Excel, for Outlook, and the other Office applications. So depending on what you want to do inside of your task pane or other add-in, you may be looking at here the Office API for you to create your add-in and add some functionality, expand or insert your business logic inside of the context of the Office applications. Yeah. Now, as mentioned, this is pure HTML, but it doesn't resemble the experience of Office. How can we kind of tweak or use the what we call the Office UI fabric to make the styling of the code we have in our task pane here, to make that more resemble what we have inside of Office, the styling of Office and animations and all of those things. So for that, what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop this one here, and I'm going to go to another example, which is an Excel add-in. It's basically, again, show you here, serve static, run it locally. We also have it running in a central location. So just spinning this one up. There we go. It's also being hosted on localhost 8443. Let me first show you what it is. Let me just remove all of this here. There we go. So we're going to insert another add-in. So note that the add-ins, again, it's my shared folder. Add-ins are filtered based on the type of client application that you're using. So I only see here the Excel add-ins. The Word add-ins are not being shown here because I'm using Excel. I'm just using the Invoice Creator, the local one. Adding this one here, and it's fairly simple. but it's just a way to demonstrate how to use these Office UI Fabric. And as you can see here, it's already more, we're using the fonts that we're using in Office. So Sego UI, we have drop downs, say for example this one. We could have here also a date picker control, so there's a whole bunch of controls available inside of the Office UI. So let's say we want to take 21st of April, we have a category key, and then we can select items here. So we have list controls, we have button controls which match kind of the look and feel, the styling of the Office suite. Now we can say add products. And what is going to happen is it's going to add here the products that we selected into our document. Yeah. This is a very simple example just to demonstrate how to use the Office UI Fabric. What does this look like in the actual code? So what do you need to do to leverage the Office UI Fabric? First, let me show you here. And this is our invoice creator. So the manifest we've seen already before is the same exact same thing. But if we look at our index page, you need to add some things here. So what we've done is we need to include the Office UI Fabric controls. It's basically this fabric.css and fabric.component.css file. As you can see, I've retrieved them using Bower. Just let me show you here our my bower.json file. So what you need to do is add the ng Office UI Fabric Bower package. You could also use npm if you want to. You don't have to use it using Bower, but as it's client-side, I tend to use Bower for that. So just ng Office UI Fabric. This will add all of the files that are needed. So we need to add the fabric.css, fabric.component. And then basically what you need to do is, if you want to use a date picker, this is a specific one, you need to include these two JavaScript libraries, the datepicker.js and jQuery, and the pickadate.js, because it's derived from the pickadate.js package. And then one thing I've added here specifically for Angular, this is one. So the Office UI Fabric is a set of JavaScript libraries, CSS, style sheets. It's all basically pure JavaScript, pure web code. It's not specific for Angular. But as we're using here Angular, what we've done is we've created kind of a number of Angular components, which is called the ng-office-ui-fabric.com, which are a number of Angular directives that kind of wrap the Office UI Fabric pure JavaScript code. So in here we can see some live demos. So for example, here the UI date picker is available here. It's the one we saw just a second ago. There's controls for the drop-down. You have a command bar if you want to add this, these types of command bars to your application. So we have Angular directives for that. If you don't want to use these directives, you don't have to. So you could just leave this out, and then you'd be using just the native Office UI Fabric controls as defined in JavaScript and CSS. But in Angular, it might be easier just to use the directives. So you add this one here, and that's basically it in terms of referencing JavaScript files and CSS files. If we then go to our products.html document, here you'll see that we're using the specific directives for Angular. For the drop-down control. So we have a label control, we have our date picker, our button, so the UIF, so UI fabric date picker, UI fabric button, which we can then link to our functions inside of our controller. and so on. So we're linking it to our model, the selected category, selected supplier, and this is that's how we work with the UI fabric. So UI fabric, let me show you this one here, full list of components and styles. Just go to dev.office.com/fabric for the full reference. So you can see here there's even more breadcrumb, date picker, dialog boxes, organizational charts. For example, here the persona card is quite a complex control that you can add to your application if you need to represent user information or contact cards. You can have this control here, which is the persona card, which you can tweak. You can change, for example, the availability indicator. You can add some custom commands here, icons. There's a whole set of complex kind of controls as well. So it's not just a Dropbox and a drop-down control, or just labels and date pickers. You also have more complex controls. You have pivot controls. So the things we know from the Office experience are available here as well. So like here, my files recent shared with me. Those kind of controls you have available in the UI fabric, so you don't have to build them yourself. Okay. So this is kind of a quick introduction on how to build an add-in yourself. So we had been using the Yeoman to generate a template. We can then have the manifest file, which points to our web application. The web application could be just plain vanilla Angular JS code, or you can extend it using the UI fabric components to make it look and feel like the Office environment. Now, second one is kind of going to this more quickly, is how can we extend our own application? So in the first one, we're extending the Office UI with business logic. Second topic is how can we connect to the Office services? So extending our own application with, for example, data coming from OneDrive or some SharePoint environment, or maybe show the organizational chart inside of our application. If you have a more business application, maybe you want to have, for the current user, show his manager. So all of these integrations is basically you have your own application, get the information from Office using the Office APIs. So you have your own application. Could be an application running on a mobile platform, could be a web application, could be a desktop application running anywhere. Development is basically we have SDKs for what we call the Microsoft Graph, which is basically an entry point to all of the different objects and services that are sitting inside of the Office, Office 365. Environment. So whether you're accessing users, mail information, calendar information. So if you want to schedule a meeting, you could use this this Graph API. Have people, Excel, and so on. So there's SDKs you can leverage from Visual Studio. There's also REST API to make it available across any platform, and of course the mobile platforms. Okay. And authentication, you could do it either using OpenID Connect or OAuth 2.0. So all of that is pretty open and pretty straightforward in how you use it. So as mentioned, these APIs, there's a common what we call Graph API that exposes through a single unified endpoint the different objects that are sitting there. So this is all kind of marketing stuff. Know that you can still use some direct APIs as well if you want to. But you don't really have to. So some examples here, you can have applications that will be connecting to Office 365 to integrate inside of their experience with the services and data that are sitting in Office 365. Okay, let me quickly show you what you can do with this graph. The Microsoft Graph, you can just go to graph.microsoft.io to get a full overview of what is sitting in there. You have a reference of the different methods that are available. So for example, getting my profile is just graph.microsoft.com, a version number, and then you can just say me, just give me information about myself. I can look at my files, which are sitting on my OneDrive. I can look at my email messages, calendar information, who's my manager, so we get organizational information, other users in my organization, and so on and so on. Yeah, so this is kind of the full reference of the API. For you to play with it, what we also have is what we call the Graph Explorer. So graph.microsoft.io, Graph Explorer. It's kind of a playground for you to check out the REST APIs that exist with the graph, the Microsoft graph. So let's, for example, retrieve my profile information. So just graph.microsoft.com, just me, just enter this one, and it's going to connect to Office 365 and retrieve here my information. So I'm my display name, my job title, my email address, and so on. My phone number is in there. We could look at, for example, drive root, looking at what is sitting in my OneDrive for business account. I can look there at the individual files that are sitting there. I could look at what users are sitting in my organization, and so on and so on and so on. So just a playground for you to look at the information that you can retrieve using the Microsoft Graph API. And then in terms of integrating that inside of your application, note that it's a REST API. So it's just a matter of invoking that REST API as you would any other REST API. And in terms of authentication, we have the AD authentication library, which is just a pure JavaScript library, which encapsulates all of the nitty-gritty details of doing the authentication and handshake with the Office services, which are sitting there. Yeah, so you're connecting. Let me quickly show you here. So you're signing in either using OpenID Connect, using Microsoft account, or just using Azure AD. Can be done from mobile applications, web applications, basically any type of application. And you have a single authentication flow for each of the different services. So you authenticate once. This is also how, for example, the Graph Explorer works. You log in once, and you get access to all of the services that are sitting behind this Graph API, whether it's profile information, whether it's email, whether it's OneDrive, and so on. Yeah, so it could be using OpenID Connect and OAuth 2. Okay, just do that once, so the demo will be done. Okay, so what we've seen so far, Office add-ins allow you to extend the Office user experience. So bring your application into the Office client applications. Secondly, a quick look at how to get information, data out of the Office services and integrate them inside of your own application. So this is just using a set of REST APIs by going to graph.microsoft.com. And now finally, how can users get the applications? We already saw kind of the two mechanisms. So there's the Office Store, which is the public kind of app store for Office add-ins, which very similar to what you do with mobile applications and a mobile app store, is you go to a certification process. Yeah, so you just publish your add-in and the manifest into the Office Store. You go to a certification process. You specify, is this a paying add-in? Is this a free add-in? Some more metadata, who's the publisher, where is the support URL, and so on. So just publish to the Office Store, and then the add-in becomes available for every single user, every global user that wants to add add-ins to Excel, to Word, to PowerPoint, can see your add-in. Now, if you're more developing inside of an organization, then there's a kind of the option to have your own kind of private environment where you can publish your applications to either your own kind of private store, which is sitting on SharePoint. So you have your own add-in catalog, only available to users inside of your organization. Or you can just, if you don't want to publish them to SharePoint, you can, as I've done here on my demo machine, just create what we call a shared folder. It's just a file share where you copy the manifest on. And that's basically enough for you to have your own private kind of deployment mechanism and distribution mechanism. Yeah. So Office Store, public to everybody who has the Office clients or the Office web applications. The add-in catalog, either using SharePoint or just a file share to publish your applications internally inside of an application. So the corporate add-in catalog, you have secure access. So you could also use them if you need to access internal servers, internal backend servers. If you want to expose, for example, a CRM system inside of your organization, you don't want to do that in the public store. So you might want to deploy and distribute your add-in through a private one. Yeah. So you can manage your add-ins centrally. And basically you can deploy directly to your employees. So you can push some add-ins and make them available to all of the employees inside of your organization. Okay. So with that, a number of links to resources. So all of the developer resources for Office development, whether it's Graph, whether it's add-in development, just go to dev.office.com. All of the references. Some examples there. You can engage with us either on Channel 9, so check the Office 365 Developer Show. We have a number of podcasts. Surely check our JavaScript webinars and follow Office Dev on Twitter. So if you have any more questions, either now or later on, feel free to contact us through Twitter using AskMSDev. And with that, I just want to direct you to, there's more JavaScript webinars coming up. Just go to aka.ms.js webinars and you'll see the full list. This is also where the recording will be placed of this one, and where you can find all of the recordings of previous JavaScript webinars that we've done. And I want to thank you for listening in and hope you can join us next time.